Well, I wonder if we could ask the boys and girls, what are some words that come to mind when you think about Christmas time? Very open-ended question. There's no wrong, well, there's not many wrong answers. But what are some things that come to mind when you think about Christmas time? Yeah, Eli. Presents, absolutely. Yeah, you excited about opening some prezzies tomorrow? Yeah. Yeah, Sasha. Joy, amazing, fantastic. Yeah, others. Yeah. You think I'll give presents? Well, Bethany, my little daughter, hopes so very much that I will be given presents. That's right. Christmas is not just a time to receive presents, but to give other people presents. What a lovely thing. Thank you. Yeah, anyone? Yeah. Christmas dinner. Yeah. Anyone excited about Christmas dinner? Yes, very much. Family. That's right. Yeah. Finn? You think about God, and that's right, and Mr. Ray confirmed that. You think about the love of Jesus at Christmas time, absolutely. Yeah. When the baby was born, when Jesus came as a baby, that's right, amazing. Any others? One or two other things that you think about at Christmas time? I've got one in mind. We've been singing about it so far today. We started the service focusing on this a little bit. Anyone think of what I might be thinking of? It starts with the letter L. We sang about it in the first carol. It's something that you probably have in your homes, or for the more brave of you, sometimes increasingly so, outside of your homes. Light. Exactly. We were hearing from Marjorie last week at Carols by Candlelight that her house is cloaked in light. And more every year, I hope. That was the vibe that we got from Marjorie. She likes Christmas lights. Anyone else like Christmas lights? Yeah, very much. I love Christmas lights. We were thinking about that in our first carol. It says the words light and life to all he, Jesus, brings. We were thinking about it as we lit the fourth Advent candle, and tomorrow morning we're going to light that final one in the middle. We were thinking about how Jesus is the light of the world. Now, I mentioned about we've all got lights in our homes, I'm sure, and in our house, it used to just be that you would put lights on a Christmas tree, but now in our house, they are all over the place because you used to have to plug them into sockets, which was an awful lot of work hiding all the cables, but now you don't need to plug them in anymore. You get these little LEDs with batteries in them, so our house has these things everywhere, which makes it look nice, but the problem is, say you're up late at night and you're watching one of your favorite Christmas movies and you're tired and you think, am I going to stay to the end? And you think, no, I'm gonna hang in, I'm gonna watch the end of the movie, but you're exhausted at the end of it. You think, finally, it's time to go to bed. Well, now it takes you about 45 minutes to turn off all the Christmas lights around the house, and Lindsay has this ingenious system of hiding the adapter so you can't see the adapter, so it looks magical. So it takes you all that time to find the way to turn the light off. Light is a beautiful thing. Light is a powerful thing, and when it's well done, if you shine lights in the right way and in the right form, it can make something look so beautiful. But here's the thing about light. Light does not just beautify. Light doesn't just make things look beautiful. Light also, if you shine it brightly on something, light also exposes. It reveals what is truly there. So I'll give you a couple of examples from my life. So Christmas is a time, I'm sure some of the grown-ups in the room here have had works nights out. And it's a long time since I went on a proper night out. For our little Hillview staff team, the Christmas party amounted to a lunch at Mains of Drum. That's as crazy as it got. But I remember nights out from a previous life of mine. And when I was a young lad, I used to enjoy going out to nightclubs. And John remembers going to nightclubs. He used to be a DJ. Did you know that, John?
Oh, he's maybe still got his decks set up in the house, do you? Yeah, we'll need to get you in worship, in the worship band with your decks. That would be pretty impressive. When you're in a nightclub, right, you can be walking around and you can think to yourself, I'm looking pretty good right now, because it's all dim and dark, right? And you can see yourself in the mirror. Anyone had this experience? You see yourself in the mirror at the nightclub, you think, yeah, I'm looking pretty good. And then what happens is you go to the toilet and it's this brightly lit fluorescent lights, and all of a sudden you see yourself in the mirror and you realize what you truly look like. Light exposes what is truly there, and that can be a very depressing moment. Or here's another more modern day example for me. I am not very good at cleaning. That may or may not be an understatement. Lindsay's not here, so I'll just move on as fast as possible. But at my best, I am good at tidy, but I'm not so good at clean. So one of the tricks, if you're like me and you're not very good at cleaning, one of the tricks is to keep the lighting as dim as possible. Keep the curtains closed, keep the lights dim, and then you can't see the dust that is everywhere. Because what happens is if you open up the curtains and the light floods into the room, you see the dust on the desk, you see the crumbs on the floor. You see that little mark that you thought was just part of the cool pattern in your jeans is actually a bit of melted chocolate from your Christmas biscuits. So yes, light is beautiful, but light also shows up all the mess. And if something is nasty or ugly, when you shine light brightly on it, it's showing up for what it truly is, which is why sometimes we prefer to be in the dark. Sometimes bad things happen, or we are involved in bad things, and we like to stay in the dark. We like to keep it private and hidden. Listen to this from John chapter 3. So I'll start with probably the most famous verse in the Bible, a great Christmas verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But it goes on. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Listen to this. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Jesus is speaking about how sometimes we like to stay in the darkness. Now, sometimes that means the actual darkness. That's why there's lots of crime and things that happen late at night. But Jesus was also using that as a picture. Like if we do something wrong, it's not easy to admit it, is it? We like to either hide in the wrong things that we've done, or we like to come up with other excuses as to why something has happened. We sometimes like to stay in the darkness, in sometimes a place of shame, rather than admitting it, the wrong things that are in us. Well, in today's Jesus Storybook Bible that Nigel read for us, we heard the story of Saul. And Saul was someone who thought he was a pretty impressive guy. It says there in the Jesus Storybook Bible, he says, I'm good at being good. And that's what Paul speaks about in the book of Philippians. He starts listing off all the ways that he previously thought he was a really impressive guy. But in this story, do you remember what happens? Saul, as he was then, encounters Jesus' light. And when that happens, it wasn't immediately a very comfortable experience for Saul. So I'm going to read from Acts 9, verse 1 to 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. So Saul's not doing too well there, is he? He's breathing out threats and murder against the Christians of that day. And so that if he found any belonging to the way, that's the church at that time, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him,
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. That's when you know that you're in a bad way, right? When you can't eat or drink for 3 days. Saul had had this encounter with God. You see, God is the source of all light. When God created the world, you think of these billions of stars. God just spoke them into creation with his own words, and they came into being. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this, that Jesus is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light. That is who God is. Our God is one who dwells in unapproachable light. And that same light came down from heaven and shone into Saul's life, and it knocked him down to the ground. And that light showed Saul who he really was. He thought he was impressive and righteous and powerful, but the light shone into his life and showed him that he hadn't really understood what true beauty was, what true power was, what true light was, what true goodness was. And that's the light that shone on Saul. It was beautiful and true and pure and holy and powerful. And it showed how vulnerable and how broken and how needy Saul was. So sometimes light can be a scary thing. Sometimes we'd rather stay hidden. We'd rather stay private. Because why? Because we're sure sometimes that if people saw who we really were, they maybe wouldn't like us very much. And we sometimes feel that if God really knew who we truly were, maybe God wouldn't want us either. But that's not the truth. The good news has a very different message, and I'm going to watch a little video just now as we come to close.
I think wrapping paper might be the answer. I mean, just look at everyone else with their perfect bodies and immaculate style, their clean little coats and their cute little smiles. What hope have I got to ever impress? Compared to them, my life is a mess. But if I was wrapped up, then no one could see the rips and the cracks and the screw-up that's me. The paper would cover all my faults and my flaws. I'd look just the same as the others because I would be shiny, attractive, exciting. People would see me as something inviting. If you ask what I wish for this Christmas tide, here is my answer. I just want to hide. Now that it's happened, you would think I'd be cheerful. But here is the thing, I'm actually more fearful. I know it sounds weird, but now that I'm covered, I'm scared of the moment when I'm truly discovered. I know it can't last. This is not the real me. I'm dreading the moment when I'm actually seen. What will they think? What will they say? Disappointment? Disgust as they throw me away? This is it. Here we go. My heart is racing. Nowhere to hide now. What am I facing? The paper is ripped and thrown to one side. Everything's bright as the light hits my eye. But wait, what is this? Can this really be true? You're seeing me and I'm seeing you. With hands that are caring and eyes that are kind, you pick me up and love what you find? That cannot be because of my beauty. It must be because of what you will do with me. You bind up my wounds and you clean up my pores, and now I am loved, but not because I am so perfect, so clean and so great, but because you saw me and you did not hate, but loved me, restored me, you made me clean. Now this is real freedom, to be truly seen. What could be better for Christmas this year? A Prince of Peace who scatters our fear. Yes, God is the Maker, but we hide from Him. Here is our problem. It's what is called sin. It leads to a mess, so we wrap ourselves up. We fear being seen, but that doesn't stop God from coming to find us, sending his Son. He so loves this world that Jesus has come. He loves us, restores us. He makes us clean. This Christmas, find freedom. This Christmas, be seen.
Good news of Christmas is that Jesus came for people like Saul and people like me and people like you. When Saul had become Paul, he summed up what Christmas is really all about when he said earlier in that book of 1 Timothy, in that letter, he said, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." He's like, listen up, guys, this is important. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Or another version says, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So the light shines, and the light does show the mess that we have in our lives. But God does not just leave us there. His light draws us in. It changes us. It draws us to him, the light of the world. And it shows us the hope that we have in Jesus, that he came into the world as our Savior, as light in the darkness, and that he will welcome any who come to him, and that he will begin to change us day by day. So boys and girls and all of us here, I pray that we will come this Christmas time for the first time, or again, that we will come to Jesus, the light of the world, and know that we can come as we are and be welcomed by him and be changed by him, becoming more and more like him, so that we can then shine brightly to those that we come into contact with. Let's pray. Father, we thank you even just this morning for the beautiful lights here in this room. Thank you for the way that Christmas is a time when we try to make things pretty and beautiful, and there's something good and right about that. There's something in our soul that rings true, that this is to be a time of peace and beauty and light and life and joy. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we also know none of us here are perfect. We've all made mistakes. We've all forgotten you. We've all pushed you away. We've all pushed others away. We've all spoken to and thought about others in ways that we're embarrassed by, let alone you, let alone your standard. But God, I thank you that you are not embarrassed about us, actually, but that you come and you shine your light into our lives. And yes, that leaves us feeling a little vulnerable sometimes, but you don't just leave us in that place of being exposed, being scared, being frightened by the power of your unapproachable light, but actually that Jesus came, the light of the world, for sinners like me, for broken and weary and messed up people like all of us here, and that Jesus, the light of the world, draws us in. And actually that through Christ we can know the warmth and the pleasure and the comfort of the light of God Most High. Thank you that you are God with us, God approachable, God knowable. Thank you that you are a God who came to save sinners like us. And I pray that we would bask in the wonderful light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that we would come to the light of the world and be changed, even now and in this season. And that we would then reflect the wonder of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to those that we come into contact with. I just thank you, Lord, that you're such a gracious and kind God. And we worship you. We bow before you, laid bare, with nothing to offer. We just come and just thank you for your grace and love in our lives. May we know it. May we taste it this season. May we revel in it. May we share it. May we rejoice in it. And may our friends and family see in us Jesus Christ, the light of the world. In his name we pray. Amen.